Before we dive into our message, we want to pray for the Stark family as they get their house built quickly. Lord, we lift up the Starks to you. We lift up Phil. Help him to get the house rebuilt quickly so he can return to a job that makes him money. Lord, give him wisdom and discernment on making each decision. May things line up well for them and they can get back to having a house that's put together. Lord, may you go ahead of them and all the unforeseen problems that are going to occur. Lord, we pray for your grace and your mercy upon their household and for each of us as we rebuild our lives and try to follow you more closely. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, David, my understanding is I don't need to come back because you're going to be our full-time preacher. I appreciate you filling the pulpit and seeking the Lord, and he used you mightily, I can tell. So thank you very much for sharing God's words to God's people. Appreciate you. And you guys will get a special treat when I leave in a few more weeks. Mr. Russ will be bringing God's word, and he says he wants it. He's got two messages, so perhaps you bring two messages to us. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I have no problem. I'm sorry? It's okay. Like I said, I'm not here, so if you want to go African-American Baptist that morning, that's fine. That's fine with me. You and Lynette will enjoy that service. So the last Sunday in July will be a four-hour service. First in August? I don't know. Whatever the piece of paper says. You know what you're doing whenever you're doing it. So today we're going to continue along where David left off the past couple of weeks, and Jesus is going to call his first disciples, which might seem strange because, well, didn't Jesus already call his first disciples? Well, we know that when Jesus called, he called Philip and the gang, it was more of a come and see call. Jesus was here, he'd been baptized, he'd been tempted in the desert, now coming back, and these were followers of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist says, well, here's the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. And so they're going and testing out, and just they're coming and see, hey, is this true? Is this really him? And Jesus says, well, come and see. Come follow me. Today we're going to get he's going to give them a second call, a permanent call. No, hey, I want you to follow me. You kind of test out. You've heard. You've seen some awesome things. I'm calling you now into a deeper point. As we know, our walk with the Lord, it's a spectrum. We start out, we're just, you know, wow, look at this neat stuff, a wonderful, awesome, loving God. He forgives our sins, all this great stuff. And then as we learn, we experience, and God calls, I believe he wants each of us to be fully devoted followers of us, and that happens at some point in our walk. Sometimes it's right at salvation where we're like, all right, if you're going to be my Savior, you're also Lord. Other of us, we're not as quick on the upkeep, and we're learning and developing and growing, and later on he says, no, I really want you to follow me. I want you to be all in, and that doesn't necessarily mean leaving your jobs, but it will for these guys. But it means, hey, I want you to trust me. I want you to follow me. So that's where we are this morning. Let me pray for our time. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing your truth. Thank you for revealing your character. I pray this morning that you would speak to each of our hearts as we hear from you today. Use this message mightily and powerfully for your kingdom and for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, where Jesus calls his first disciples. And Luke writes, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of, looked up this word, Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. So Jesus is teaching by the lake. He's now at this point, he's healing people. People are, they're hearing messages in the synagogues, and he's drawing a crowd now at this point. People are following him. They're pinning him in. There's so many people. It's not just a small group of followers. It's this big mass by the side of the lake. It's a great harvest waiting to be reaped, and they want to hear from Jesus. And he's pinned in, and so Jesus takes this opportunity to get some better acoustics, to get away so that way he can reach all the people, not just be pinned in and have people right on top of him, but he gets into Simon's boat. And I love just the hand of God and his sovereignty in all of this, because he's going to, as we know, he's going to call Simon and a few others. So he's using this opportunity as he preaches and teaches to these people. It's just a wonderful thing. We don't have enough time to unpack all of this unless we're going to be here till 3 o'clock like Russ would like. Lots of neat stuff. I'm sorry, I'll stop picking on you. But you got, when the Lord speaks to you, that's exciting. That's exciting. We say, ooh, look at this. Anyways, getting back to today's message, he gets into the boat, and they've seen healings. The official son has been healed. Simon's mother-in-law, which David shared. There's many sick. There's a demon oppressed. And we know Matthew 8:17 tells us that this was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. On the cross, Jesus took our illnesses. He bore our diseases. And yes, he took away sins, but he did so much more, which is why he's also our healer. He's been teaching many people, cleansing the temple, reading the scrolls in the synagogue. People have sought him in desolate places. They're coming and seeing Jesus. And now, as I said, we got this big crowd here joined. And Jesus takes the initiative to get into Simon's boat, to get away from the people so he can teach them. And it's interesting that Scripture doesn't tell us what he teaches them. So while it's amazing, we know all Scripture is breathed out by God. It's without error. It's infallible. It has great power and authority. Every single word that Jesus spoke here on earth has the same authority and has the same, it's without error. Everything that God is ever going to say to us in eternity is the same power, same authority. But in the sovereignty of the Holy Spirit doesn't have everything to be recorded, or else, as John says, I suppose the whole world would be full of these books. So we don't know what Jesus teaches, because obviously that's not the most important thing here today, not that it wasn't important. But he gets in the boat with Simon, and so Jesus is teaching, but Simon is almost getting this backstage pass with Jesus. Hearing him, seeing the people react, and just, wow, look at this cool stuff that's going on here. Because we know Jesus is about to call Simon. So while he doesn't say, Simon, I need you to listen up closely because you're about to follow me, the Lord knows how to reach people, knows how to work, and knows how to do these things. So Simon's there listening as Jesus teaches. It says that when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Jesus finishes teaching and tells them to go offshore and catch some fish. Jesus doesn't give them a reason for the command, but simply instructs Peter to go away from shore and catch fish. And this, presumably, if the fish were able to be caught in the deep during the day, these professional fishermen, they would have been out in the deep catching fish during the day. But they're catching... They know they catch the fish at night. This isn't what they do, but Jesus says, go out and do it, which is why he said, well, we toiled all night. We got nothing. We're out there in the prime spots. These are professional fishermen. They know what they're doing. We're at the right time, the right place. We've got nothing. So it's kind of, you know, this isn't a good idea to do this. But he's willing to submit to the authority of Jesus. But at your word, I'll let down the nets. I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to listen to you, even if it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Another way to say it, I don't believe it will do any good, but I'm willing to be obedient to you. You ever get those opportunities in life when God says to do something? God, I don't think this is going to do any lick of good, but I'm willing to be obedient to you. And a lot of times, that's all God asks for. He doesn't ask for us to understand. He doesn't ask for us to know how the fish have schooled up and now it's ready for this great harvest. He doesn't ask for it to make sense. He just says, you know, just trust me, please. Just trust me. Not the perfect reaction, but it's a lot better than no. No, Lord, I'm tired. No, Lord, this isn't going to work. No, we have to fix up the nets. We have to clean the nets. We have to, hey, Jesus, we have to go out again tonight to catch some fish since last night we got skunked. We got to take care of our families. We got to do this other stuff. But he steps out in faithful obedience. God wants you to go beyond what you can do and accomplish. When we do that, he's glorified. If these professional fishermen catch an abundance of fish where they said, where they knew the fish would be, all right, it's neat, but God doesn't get all the glory. When we step out beyond what we can see, what we can do, what we know, God gets the glory. He takes this huge step. And I'm reminded of Moses. Moses didn't have the burning bush. He didn't have the greatest reaction to God, but he didn't. And God worked with him. Remember, he said, it was, you know, go and tell these people, well, who are you? If I'm supposed to go to my people, who are you? And God replies, well, I'm the great I am. I'm the father of Abraham and Jacob. He says, well, they're not going to listen to me. He's a lot of valid things. He said, well, take the staff and the cloak. You're going to turn the water into blood. They'll listen to you. Here, do these things. He says, well, I don't speak so well. I'm an 80-year-old stutterer. And God says, okay, well, I'll be your mouth. And then finally, Moses just says no. He said, no, send somebody else. And when does God get angry? When Moses says no. God can deal with our excuses. God can deal with human circumstances that, you know, God, this doesn't make any sense. God, I feel ill-equipped. God, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm willing to step out in obedience to you. God gets angry when we say no. We're at peace with him. We don't get that wrath, but it doesn't work out well in our favor when we say no to God. What we see here, verse 6, when they're obedient, they yielded a great catch. They enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Faithful obedience to God yields greater bounties than we could ever imagine. Their nets were breaking. Remember, once again, these are professional fishermen, so they would have had, for this lake, they would have had nets big enough to catch the fish that they were going after, correct? They're not going to be stupid and foolish and, well, I only need a quarter of a net because I'm just going to catch a little bit of fish. No, they're going to make sure to have ample space to catch all the fish that they can get. They go beyond what even Simon has ever seen. I imagine he's never caught fish like this before. If this was a regular occurrence or even once in a while, you'd make sure to have enough nets. If you're going to catch a 1,000-pound tuna, you don't put a 20-pound test on your line. You have the big, strong leader. You have line that's big enough to catch even a record-setting fish to go well above and beyond because you don't want it to break and you lose that great catch. Right, Gary? You don't want to lose a big fish. But you've known people who have made those mistakes, right? You know people who have. You set yourself up. If I'm going for a big fish, I'm going to make sure I got more than enough. If it's a 30-pound fish, you know, I'm going to have more than enough. We see some of those guys. Have you seen those videos where they're out fly fishing for big sharks just because they can to show that they can catch a shark? I guess it's fun. I don't know. It doesn't sound very fun to have a little fly fishing, whatever. But, you know, most of the time you're going out there, you're rigged, and you're ready to catch the big one. And God does more than these fishermen. These guys know what they're doing, where they can think or ask and even imagine. Let down your nets, and the nets were breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats that they were beginning to sink. So once again, if you're a fisherman, you're going to have a big enough boat for your fish, right? You're not going to take a kayak out to catch a Goliath grouper and expect to put it in there. These men would have had a big enough boat to hold their catch. But both boats were beginning to sink. Both boats couldn't even handle the bounty that the Lord was yielding. Spiritually, there's such a large bounty out there that is going to take more than just one man. It's overwhelming for many hands. Remember that the fields are white for harvest. Jesus said this with a Samaritan woman, this Samaritan village. He's telling his disciples that the fields are white for harvest. It's got to be more than Jesus. That's why we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, so we can be his hands, his feet. Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. We're each called to do the work of an evangelist. Even if that's not our gifting, our comfort zone, even if we like to go come up with many excuses not to. We'll begin to seek, verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. When you catch a large number of fish, Gary, I don't know what it's like to catch a lot of fish or big fish. But what I understand, you know, when I catch a little guy, I'm pretty excited. But you would think a professional fisherman, he's going to be elated. This is awesome. Look at this. You know, he's thinking, you know, the money, the families, or whatever. And his reaction, depart from me, Lord. His reaction is brokenness. His reaction is humility, because he knew what was in his heart. Lord, there ain't no fish out there. And we're certainly not going to catch them in the deep. We're not going to catch them in the middle of the day. This is dumb. I'm not going to say it out of respect to you, Rabbi. I'm not going to say this is dumb, this is stupid. But in his heart, he's like, no, I doubt God. It's probably the greatest sin we can commit. To doubt a perfect, wonderful, awesome, all-powerful God. We intellectually know. We've read the scriptures enough to know that God can do anything. If Jonah can stay alive in a fish for 3 days, he can take care of you and me. If God can speak through a burning bush, he can communicate with us. If God can feed with the manna every day, he can take care of it. He's proven himself over and over and over again. But for most of us, it's, God, I don't think you can do. And then insert the little thing that he's asked you to do. God, I don't believe you're big enough. I don't believe you can. And we won't probably say that. But our reactions say that. How we respond to God says that. And I believe that's bigger than, you know, even if you give in to the lust, the pornography, the drinking, the whatever. That's your flesh. Your flesh is still sin tainted. You're going to be, we're corrupt. We're going to sin. We're going to fall short. But God's never going to fall short. If he's asked you to step out and do something, he's going to follow through on it. And even if Peter were not to catch a single fish, we know that Jesus has a great, wonderful purpose in taking him out there and doing this. Peter breaks down. He just breaks down. They're astonished at the catch that had been taken. Jesus is capable of the impossible. Jesus does the impossible. This is what he does. And I believe this is the kind of heart that he wants from us. Last Saturday night, got to give a message to the youth, and at the end there was a call for repentance, a call for, you know, brokenness, what God wants to do, and it was amazing seeing their reaction. I don't know, it feels like there was more in this picture, but I think about 20 kids, 20 young adults that came forward, just, Lord, I'm not trusting you, forgive me, Lord. And God loves hearts like this. He loves broken hearts like this before him. It was an amazing night just to see hearts broken. Lord, I haven't been trusting you as well as I can. I haven't been trusting you. And the person who led it was this young lady named Lexi. She's an American from the Prattville Church. And I'm so appreciative. She, you know, sometimes you just need that person to break the dam. So she came down and led the way, allowed the Lord to do this wonderful, wonderful harvest. And let me share with you what she had posted on Facebook about this, because I think it speaks to each of us. I know it speaks to me. She said, this picture reminded me that on my knees in weakness before Jesus is where I need to be and stay. How ugly is my own flesh, and what I think is strength, closing up and shutting out loved ones and ultimately his love only makes for a bitter heart. Letting tears fall and real emotions that God gave me be processed is such a beautiful thing that brings me closer to him. Being real, being honest with God and with myself is not weakness and does not make me a failure. Jesus wept, rejoiced, and was put through the heaviest thing possible. It was mocked by men and Satan himself. And when these things happened, he called out to his Father, spoke truth, and quoted scripture from the past, and would one day be the future as well. He was not weak, and because of this example, I am learning to be more real and realize it is not weakness to be open and be real as Jesus was. Is it just an opportunity to call out to my Father and walk closer to Jesus and partake in the honor of the fellowship of his sufferings and receive healing, his presence, and let him receive his presence and let him clear more space in me for less of me and for more of him. Crying out to Jesus and walking in his strength is where I want to stay. Whether I'm broken, joyful, in trial, or dancing, I just want to stay at his feet because I am weak. But staying at his feet is not weakness. It gives me strength. That was a wonderful evening, seeing the hearts broken. And I imagine when Peter came and laid at Jesus' feet, forgive me, just get away from me. That's what Jesus was getting at. He was using a wonderful object lesson. He knows Simon Peter's heart. He just wanted to show, I can do anything. Simon's seen Jesus teach and heal and do all these other things, but Peter needed to be broken. We all need to be broken, sometimes multiple times. Remember, before Peter could be used at Pentecost, he needed to be broken. Lord Jesus, I'll never forsake you. I won't leave you, even if everybody else does. I appreciate the sentiment, but I know you're going to forgive. You're going to say you don't know me 3 times before the rooster crows. And he does, and Peter, he breaks down, but he needs to break down and see that he can't do anything. Lord, it's all you. So in a little bit, we're not done here with this narrative, but in a little bit, we'll give you an opportunity to be humble before the Lord. Is there anywhere that you're not trusting him fully? It's tough. But continue on with the rest of the narrative, and then we'll close. And also with him, also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats, they left everything and followed him. James and John, they were mending nets by there. And Matthew records Jesus saying to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." You reap this incredible harvest, this bounty of all these fish. Follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Just like you did this incredible thing that couldn't be by your own power. You tried last night, you couldn't do anything. But if you follow me, go where I tell you to go, man, there's this great bounty. And I even see on the shore as he's doing this, there's this great mass of people. There's a mass of fish here in the lake that's been drawn to where Jesus is. There's this mass of people because of Jesus, and God's drawn them. I'm going to make you fishers of men. I wouldn't doubt if he even just pointed out to the crowd there that was on the shore. You're going to reap a great harvest. But follow me. You got to follow me. So Peter went from just the beginner, come and see, to now Jesus is saying, hey, follow me. Later on in the ministry, perhaps a year or so later, remember he's going to send the disciples out 2 by 2. They're going to have great impact, and they're going to cast out demons and heal. It's going to be all this wonderful stuff. And then finally, after Pentecost, go and bear much fruit. There's going to be this multiplication aspect of making disciples and reaching the lost. It's going to be this incredible, wonderful thing. Peter's not ready for that yet, but he's going to start here. It says they left everything and followed them. These are fishermen. This is all they know is fishing. They left fishing in their way of life. These sons of Zebedee, they left their father. A lot of worldly things could come into their mind. Well, how is dad going to take care of himself? How is all these things going to happen? But we know that there are other servants there with them. This scripture doesn't say, but I believe it's Matthew or Mark, where there were others with. Jesus knows how to reach. He knows how to provide. All he says is just follow me. So as we close, I would just call us all to humbly follow Jesus. Each and every one of us. I know that there's probably 70 of us here today. We're probably at 70 different points in our walk with Jesus. There might be some here who don't even know that Jesus, or don't have their faith that Jesus is Lord. That, all right, well, he's a nice guy. He said a bunch of awesome things here, but haven't placed their faith in it. Through you, through your blood, I'm forgiven. I'm free. I'm a new creation. Just all these wonderful things. You haven't placed your faith in Jesus. You're trusting and relying on yourself. I know for me, admitting that I was wrong was the biggest barrier in becoming a Christian, because saying that I need Jesus means saying that I was wrong, that there is no God. So I had to humbly go before God and say, you know what? You are God. I believe in you. I have faith that you have died for my sins. then for the rest of us, there's choices in our lives. You know, choice number one, we could take care of ourselves. As God calls us, hey, follow me. We could, you know, take care of yourself. Still saved, these fishermen still knew about Jesus. They still followed him, saw his miracles, heard his teachings. But they could choose to just, you know what, I'm going to keep on fishing, Jesus. Because this is what I know, this is where I'm comfortable at. How else am I going to be provided for? And choose, you know what, no thank you, Jesus. I've seen you do some amazing things, but it's more comfortable. It's more comfortable. Choice number two, follow God and trust he will take care of you. And you're going to become a fisherman. You could do amazing and wonderful things. Peter could have said, no, Jesus, I'm staying on shore. I'm not even going out. I got to mend my nets. I got to do this, that, and the other thing. I'm not going out. He would have missed out on so much, so much. When we say, when we make the choice, when we make the decision, oh, there's decisions in life, aren't there, Ken? There's decisions. We decide, you know what, I'd rather not. And there's tons of reasons, and there's even good reasons, but not godly reasons to not trust him, not to follow him. He's going to do exceedingly more than you could ever think or master even imagine. We know that Jesus has proved time and time again that he is worthy. And even if you're not fully convinced but intellectually know, I would encourage you to take the step of obedience. Peter wasn't convinced fully. He said, well, all right, well, if you're God, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. Let him worry about the catch. Let him worry about the return. There's a lot of things in Scripture, you know what? I'm not fully convinced, but I'm gonna step out in faith. One of those things, Scripture we probably don't do very much, is what it says, bless your enemies. Don't curse them, but bless them. If we're honest, when we're mad and frustrated, we don't want to bless our enemies, do we? Or those that are frustrating us. But Scripture says, so you can just, you know, even in that little, you know, God, I don't like this person right now, but your Scripture says to bless them, so I'm going to pray this prayer of blessing, even though it doesn't mean anything to me right now. Just be honest with God. He knows your heart. Say, Lord, I pray that you would soften their heart. I pray that you'd show them your love. I don't want to, but I pray that you would. Amen. And continue with that prayer. And the Lord, he changed his heart. The Lord changed Simon Peter's heart in an instant there when the fish came up. Some of us are not as quick learners as him. I'd encourage you to take those steps of faith. But if you really rather just take care of yourself, what about God? What about God do you know that is not worth trusting him fully? What is it? So what about God is there that I can't trust you? There's this fault, there's this defect in you. Lord, I can't call you Lord. I can call you God, but I can't trust you. Complete obedience, stepping out in faith as he directs. Is it him or is it your flesh? It's probably our flesh. What God wants is like Peter, as we close, I'm here, God, I'm all in for you. I'm here for you, God. I stand before you as your pastor. I'm here, I'm all in for you all. I'm here to serve. Let's reach the lost. Let's build one another up. Let's do the things that only God can do because it's God. So are you with me? Let's go ahead and let's reach this community. Let's reach one another. At the very least, let's just be an all in for God. If you don't want to be an all for me, I don't care if you're not all in for me. I'll serve the Lord anyways, but let's serve him. So at this point, let's go ahead and close. And as I mentioned before, these kneelers are up here. These are for you. If you want to do business with God, you can do business with God. If you want to say, Lord, like Peter fell down before the Lord, forgive me. What do you say here? Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. That contrite heart. If you want to do that before the Lord on these kneelers, I won't touch you unless it's clear that, and you can go ahead and pray if you'd like to, Janice. I won't do anything unless it's clear that you want prayer. But now's the time if you want to respond. If not, you can just respond in your seats. I believe, like Peter, there's many in this room he's called to obedience. So we respond to him. How will we respond to the Lord? Let's take this time now. Lord, our flesh is so full of sin. Lord, I'm so grateful that you've made us new creations. Lord, you've given us the ability. Lord, soften our hearts this morning. Soften our hearts, draw us to you. And as you're speaking to some of us right now, help us to respond with yes. Yes, I believe that you are Lord and you have died for all my sins. Yes, Lord, I want to follow you completely and totally. Yes, Lord, I want to step outside of my comfort zone and reach this community. Yes, Lord, I'm going to love the prickly pears in my life, not because I want to, but because you do. May our hearts all be a yes, Lord, yes. Lord, I present to you these humble and contrite hearts before you. Lord, may you do wonderful things in their lives. May you use them mightily for your glory, just as you did Peter, a man who falls so often and with such loudness, such boastfulness. But Lord, use us even with our weaknesses. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.